the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Welcome back to The Last Word. Danny McConnell sitting in for Matt Cooper. Now, anxiety can leave you stuck, coping, analysing, trying everything and still feeling like you're not moving forward. My next guest knows everything about this. She is the international best-selling author, podcaster and journalist Caroline Forn, who's with me to discuss her latest book, Everything I Wish I'd Known About Anxiety, A Roadmap Back to Yourself. Caroline, you're very welcome to The Last Word.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
What was the spur or the genesis of this particular book? Because you obviously have written and spoken and you have
not
your own podcast.
Not my first rodeo.
It's not your first rodeo on this particular book. But why this particular book?
So there was a few reasons. I think personally for me, when I first started writing about anxiety, I was still very much coming out the other side of it. There was so much I didn't know yet. There was a lot left to learn. I also, there's 10 years of lived experience there. I became a parent, which brought its own challenges to my mental health. And then I think the real impetus for me was realizing how many people are still kind of getting it wrong when it comes to how they're looking at anxiety. We put an awful lot of pressure on ourselves to change our thoughts and not have anxious thoughts. And that's kind of missing the mark of what I've learned about anxiety and how it lives in the body and what the nervous system needs. So there was our perception of it I thought needed addressing. And then culturally, I think we've gone through so much collectively, and whether or not you think you are personally affected by the constant drip feed of news on your phone and, you know, the horrors and the images that we're seeing that we were never supposed to be able to see in that much abundance, plus coming through COVID, which was very much something I think we all said, let's just pretend that never happened because you had to cope and move on. When you are told, you know, absolutely, that if you step outside your front door, you are really facing a legitimate threat to your survival, it doesn't matter how much you tell yourself, oh no, I'm okay, but I'm okay. That lands in your nervous system and that registers. And over time, like, that went on for so long. We were cut off. It definitely
over
left.
Over 2 years.
It left its mark. I mean, I had my baby in COVID and I was in a whole new world of, you know, being alone in the hospital and everything. And I think that coming out the other side of that, I mean, we might just think, okay, that's done now. But there's a lasting impact on having had your nervous system strained for that long. And most of the time with anxiety, it's like the perception of threat. It's the fear of uncertainty. COVID was a certainty, you know, it was a really legitimate threat. And we're not often affected by something on such a global level. So there's that. There's also just, I think, like, obviously, we know social media usage and the constant phone usage, whether it's the content from around the world, which is triggering our nervous system, or even just the act of constantly scrolling and being chronically online, which I know is easier said than done to step away from. So there's an awful lot there where I felt like there's still an awful lot I need to say. There's a lot of new people arriving at anxiety who maybe had never felt it before and were suddenly wondering why they were at a reduced capacity at work or in the relationships, and not realizing how all of these different vulnerability factors, the personal and the more macro level, can come together and give rise to anxiety.
How much of it, from an Irish context, are we bad at it on the basis of, sure, we're grand or we're just having a day, or we can't necessarily put our finger on it, but we don't necessarily want to put our finger on it either? And how much of it have you found, I suppose, going through this book and your previous, I suppose, experience as well, of actually realising the importance of talking and addressing these issues?
I think we've gotten an awful lot better. I think I notice, it's a funny discrepancy, I notice that with my Instagram, where people will mention the books in the podcast, it will be women who will publicly do it and be like, I'm finding this episode really helpful, or this has helped me. But privately, it will be a man who will message me and say, I found this, or my girlfriend put this on to me. So I think there's quite a gender difference there.
Very,
I don't,
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an Irish thing. And I do think, like, at this stage, anxiety is in the water. Like, we're aware of it. A lot of us know when we're suffering with anxiety, whereas 10 years ago, it was like, do you know that it actually, what's going on might be anxiety? Now we're kind of in a different place. But what's lacking still is, okay, I know that, but what do I do about it? Where do I start? And yes, the place to start, the first stop on my roadmap is the things that people tend to not want to do, because I think where the Irish thing comes in is we don't want to burden anyone and we don't want to be too much. And we also tend to, I think, culturally praise people who take everything on and never, oh, look, she never complains, isn't she great? And it's like, no, we should not be rewarding that culture of yeah, because it's not good for anyone's mental health, individually or collectively. So we're getting better, but there's still a ways to go, I think.
Okay. And in the book, you identify, or you've, I suppose, create is the wrong word, but you have 10 stops.
Yes.
On that journey to success.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come at arriving, or where did you, or how long did it take to kind of come to and arrive at those 10 specific and separate stops?
So this roadmap is a very chronological, organized, prescriptive journey through, I hate the word journey, but from finding yourself at that first point of being quite overwhelmed by anxiety very physically and just noticing it's really getting in on you, and coming out the other side where you're meaningfully in a position of having meaningfully overcome it. And I can explain what I mean by that. But this is everything that I should have done. And I did it completely arseways, if I'm honest. Like, I didn't know what I know now then. Mm-hmm. There was no conversations like this happening. I was so isolated, and I tried an awful lot of things that probably didn't work or made things worse for myself. So I kind of reflectively went back and said, what should I have done and in what order that would have saved me so much suffering, yeah, that would have stopped the anxiety from growing into something so much bigger than it ever needed to be? And a lot of that is to do with how we perceive anxiety, how we perceive ourselves, how we understand how it lives and moves in the body. Because I mean, I thought of it for so long as something that had taken over me, you know, like some sort of sinister, paranormal thing that I was waiting for one day to just evaporate. And I was always looking over my shoulder saying, well, what if it comes back? And I completely missed the point of what anxiety is.
And can I ask, and again, for listeners who may not have heard your podcast or may not have read your book, I mean, one, how did it manifest itself? And how did you, I suppose, is diagnose the right word? How did you put your finger on it and say, this is what I need to confront, this is what I need to tackle?
Yeah. So for the longest time, there was just no obvious thing I could point the finger at. And I really wanted something tangible that I could say, oh, this makes sense. Because again, maybe it's culturally, we still have that fear of, well, if it's not something that like my leg is hurting me, then it's me and I'm doing it to myself and I'm willing it onto myself. And there was no big thing that I could point to in my life at all. I just think I was probably came into the world wired a bit differently, a bit more prone to anxiety. And a lot of us are, like, even before you added any of the actual practical life stresses, some of us are just, we have a smaller window of tolerance.
And did that, and do you remember that? Do you recall that manifesting itself when you were a child?
Yes, but for me, all through my childhood and my teenage years, and even then when I had like what I would describe as a mental breakdown when I was 25, it was always manifested through really severe gut issues. Okay. And never once, up until I got so bad, was there a connection drawn between what's going on here and what's going on in my mind. The word anxiety never came up. So I was being sent from doctor to, you know, colonoscopy, to all these different things, and saying, no, everything is fine. Like, you're fine. You just need to basically stop feeling this way. So, okay, of course, I was driven, demented, thinking, I don't want to feel this way.
And probably the frustration of nobody's hearing me or nobody's understanding.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually, I think my body, the way I understand it is, anxiety will always try to communicate with you. It's always a message. There's always some function to it. And it was trying to get me to listen, because I, at the time when things kicked off for me in a really severe way, I had just taken on too much. I pushed myself too far, and it was just the straw that broke the camel's back. And my body was roaring at me with these symptoms saying, you need to pay attention. And I wasn't getting the message. And then it turned up the volume so much and threw in things like panic attacks. And I remember so vividly my first panic attack. And the strangest thing happened, because from that moment on, it's like all the physical symptoms in my gut settled in a way, because it was like, okay, now she's listening. Mm-hmm. And then I was just fight or flight, like constantly activated. All my thoughts were tinged with fear. I was stuck in anxiety.
And nobody can stay in that sort of state for any prolonged, you can't live like that.
No, it was really dark and it was really scary. And I include at the beginning of the book, it's probably a bit cringy, but a little letter to myself from then, because all I wanted was someone who could say to me, I know this feeling. I know how crippling and how bad it can be. Mm. And you can come out the other side. And I want to be that for other people now. And I get people on DMs all the time saying, but like, is that even possible? And it is. You can meaningfully overcome it. I am not someone who struggles with anxiety anymore. Yes, I'm a human being. I have, you know, an active stress response when it's necessary, but I don't wake up flooded with hormones that, you know, give me these anxious symptoms. I don't make decisions based on anxiety. I don't fear anxiety anymore. And that's what kept me stuck for so long.
You spoke there of having a breakdown when you were 25. I mean, that it's a terrifying statement to have to say.
Yeah.
But then to rationalize it, to overcome it and to come out the other side of it is remarkable.
Thank you.
How was that, or how, like, what was it? Because I know the book, the kind of thesis of the book, there are no quick fixes here. Like, I mean, this is not a kind of take two pills and away you go kind of type solution. Like, how did you go from that point to the very confident, amazing woman who's sitting in front of me today?
Thank you very much. Well, it took me a while, and there was many different parts to it. I think, and that's what's all kind of mapped out. And we tend to think of like medication as just a quick fix or something that will just mean you don't have to do any of the other work, and that is not true in my experience. I did go on medication eventually, but the way I see it is,
and sorry, not to put across, were you nervous about that?
I was nervous just insofar as of the stigma, and I remember sitting in the doctor's office, and this is after I had done months of therapy and all this introspection, being like, there's nothing I won't do to help myself here, but I am struggling so physically that I cannot, in this bodily state, benefit from things like going for a walk and having a chat. I couldn't get my head above water. But I remember sitting there and almost begging for permission. I think I even apologized and said to her, like, I'm really sorry, but I think at this point I might need a little bit of extra help. I apologized to my boyfriend, to my family, because I guess I was apologizing for being too much and not being able to white knuckle it myself. Mm. Now, like, and I also want to say that was just very much one part. That just lifted me ever so slightly above the really heightened state of very physical anxiety. But then I still had so much work to do, and working on my perception of it, understanding how anxiety functions in the body. CBT was huge for me,
okay.
Way better than talking therapy for me, because CBT kind of put me in the driving seat and gave me very practical ways to, test the anxiety and put myself in experiments and see, well, actually, are your fears based on some fact or opinion, that kind of thing. Obviously, changing my lifestyle, big and small things, was part of it. But really, I think overall that the biggest thing was, yeah, changing my perception of it, no longer being afraid of it, really understanding it and getting to the point where I could comfortably say, yes, I could have a panic attack tomorrow. I'm launching a book. I have a lot going on. But I would welcome that because it's data and it's information and it's something I would turn towards. Whereas for the longest time, I wanted to be in a different body. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be here or be myself. I didn't want to be someone who was this vulnerable. And now I'm okay with that.
And you are clearly in control of it, as to maybe you weren't it before.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not even something that I have to control every day or manage every day, because when you turn into yourself and you actually are willing to confront anxiety with when it's there as a message and kind of a compass, when your body starts to kind of work very symbiotically, there's no need for it to keep roaring at you. So even though, yes, I'm willing and I understand and I'm comfortable enough to feel the anxiety, there's not much reason for it to be shouting at me in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish we could talk longer, but we are out of time. But Caroline Foran, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you
the
so
book
much.
Is called Everything I Wish I'd Known About Anxiety, A Roadmap Back to Yourself. Best of luck with it and congratulations.
Thank you. The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.